This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Season 3 Q&A special. I am your host, Virginia Spotts. You know me as co-producer, co-writer Kate Sheridan in the Sheridan Tapes. And here tonight, we also have Trevor Van Winkle.
Hello, Sam Bailey, writer, creator, editor, sound designer.
Yes.
Whatever other hats I wear.
All the jobs. We also have Erin Neely-Chaconis.
Hello, this is Anna Sheridan.
We have Amitola Lomas.
Hi, this is Maria Soul. I like these intros.
And we have Ezra J. Wayne.
And I'm Ned Leroux.
Hi, this is Chris, and I'm recording my answers for the Season 3 Q&A.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jesse Haugen, and I am the composer for the Sheridan Tapes.
Hell yes. A last minute fumble today. We can't have Jesse Steele and Sam Taylor here tonight because they're feeling ill. So that is very sad. We wish them well. And then also for this evening's program, why did I say it like that? Jesse Haugen, our composer, and Chris Allison, who played Dr. Caldwell this season, will be submitting some questions remotely. So every now and then there will be a little break in the live format, and you'll hear from them to answer some questions because they're just too good to miss out on this. And scheduling this was a little bit tricky, and we just want to get as many wonderful people in the show as possible for this. So let's start off strong. Question one, this is from Jonah, he, him. Is everyone okay?
No.
I'm pandemic okay, sure. And character wise, who knows? Kate's probably panicking, watching that facility collapse from the outside.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine. I'm doing quite well. Sam Bailey is currently at the bottom of a very large pile of rubble, so we'll see how he's feeling very soon, but
yeah. I'm myself, Erin Neely-Chaconis, doing okay. Hanging in there. Anna is a hard TBD. We'll see what happens. I am also curious to know if she's okay.
Oh, well, you'll see. You'll see.
I would say I am, in my new response to this question, flourishing. that's my new response. I'm very pleased with it. And I think Maria is working on being okay. I think she hasn't been okay for a really long time, and I think she's working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Maria might be the only character who we know is not in immediate danger.
Maria's taking some time for herself.
Yes. She definitely picked the right moment for that.
She sure did. I think I personally, I'm like fine. I think Ned is also like fine.
It's probably not his first time getting buried under, you know, a collapsed building.
Right. I don't think he's like happy about it, but he's probably fine. He like generally he's been doing great and having a great time, except for like that one little thing. So,
yeah, Ned would probably say flourishing as well.
Flourishing. He was flourishing.
Yeah. Except for that one little thing, you know, the thing being, his boss has.
It's probably fine.
Probably.
It's probably all going to be totally fine, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. We'll move right into question two then and start the real questions. So this one is starting out is for basically myself and Van Winkle from Jonah again. How do you manage to have such long spanning stories? As in, did you play in all seasons or just one and then went with it?
Yeah, I'll take that. At the start, it was very much just, it wasn't even planning one season. It was just basically improvising my way through the first handful of scripts to figure out what kind of series and what kind of story I wanted to tell. And then as the show was going on, slowly, you know, piecing together an outline for, you know, the overarching plot of the story and where it was going. I, you know, from very early on knew the answer to the mystery, which is an important thing for a mystery show. And that hasn't changed. But a whole lot of stuff has changed in the interim. And yeah, with, you know, season one, that was planned as it was coming out. I didn't have a plan for season two once it came time for that. And that was really hammered out by Virginia and I once she came on at the end of season one. And then same season three, I had a stronger idea, but that was also very much, you know, planned out before the after season two had ended. We have a plan and a full outline now to the end of season four for, you know, our last 25 episodes, which was a very good thing to have. But this was not as planned as some other long running series, you know, are, or, you know, some people would say they should be, but, you know, we do have outlines now at the start of each season, you know, before we begin the writing process. And we know generally which direction the ship is going, which, you know, helps us set things up and set up those long running plot lines and kind of, you know, put those little hints in there that make it seem like we know what we're doing.
Right. And one thing that we did do for season three that was new is we made a spreadsheet where we had each episode and then all of our main characters on the other axis and then plotted like, okay, if we know Anna has to be at this point at the end of the season, how are we going to build to that? Through other episodes that she's going to be in. And we did that for all of the characters, and that really, really helped us stay on track. So that was, we will definitely be doing that for the final season as
Absolutely.
That's very necessary now. And then wasn't there like a contingency plan that you had for like, if you needed to end the show at the end of season one, because it wasn't going anywhere or you lost steam or something? Yeah. So
I've talked about this, I think, during like the season one Q&A's. Like,
yeah,
if I was done with the show at the end of episode 25 as it was seen then, it was just going to be basically the answer to the mystery would change and it would just be, yeah, the Echo killed Anna and, you know,
whoops,
took her place, and that's the whole of the Sheridan Tapes, everyone. I'm very glad I didn't go that route.
Yeah, me too.
And they're definitely, yeah, and it definitely wouldn't have fit all the clues. I had basically a point where, like, if I knew that was the direction we were going to go, I had to shift my plan slightly in terms of how I was going to write this. But thankfully, no, it did not end up going that way. But that was the abbreviated version of the show.
Yeah, that would have been decidedly less fun. I'm sure it still would have been like cool and a complete story, but I'm really glad it didn't end there for many reasons. So next question is from Aries, she, they. Have any of the actors or fan reception of the story and characters drastically changed the direction of the story? And I'm laughing because the next two questions are about Ned, because that's primarily a big thing that happened.
DeWitt and then Ned have very much shifted and changed from my original conception of that character, because DeWitt in season one, for, you know, when I wrote episode 10, I'm like, well, they're dead now, so... goodbye. Nice seeing you. You were kind of creepy. But then I don't even think it was necessarily audience reaction at that point. I think it was just like, oh, there's more I could do with this character, and
right.
You know, we could learn some interesting things from him. So brought him back for episode 19, I believe. And then people kind of at that point people did kind of fall in love with the immortal shape shifting Tar Man, which I didn't expect, because I kind of thought I was writing him to be reprehensible, but now looking at it, I'm like, no, I was just writing a shape shifting trickster archetype, which is kind of my favorite type of character as well. And then when Ezra came in to play Ned in season two, you know, that very much changed our idea of what was going to happen to Ned, as well as the whole basically conclusion of season two. Our kind of original plan for that was that the kind of closing revelation of season two, it would be two-pronged. It would be both the, you know, the thing from Ren telling the Searchers that the end is coming, but then we would flash back to the bunker and basically the scene we had at the start of episode 51, except instead of just Morrison being vague and ominous, he would open a, you know, a rift in the, you know, tear open the veil at that point and push Ned through. And that would be the end of Ned, which again, very glad that didn't happen. But
yeah, which would be also so advancing Morrison's timeline by a lot, because that happened in episode 73 instead.
Exactly. Yeah. And thankfully, yeah, Virginia and I both realized, like, as we were planning this, no, that's too many plot points hitting at once. And also, we don't want to kill Ned yet.
I think Alejandra as well. Like, Alejandra was so good as the Beechwood monster. That was they were only around for one episode. And then we were like, well, surely there's a way to bring Alejandra back. So I wrote Amanita. And then now Amanita is just around.
All the time. And also, I just want to say Maria Soul as well, from like my very early conception of that character was very different from the way, you know, Ami ended up playing her and the way she developed through season one. I think I can say this now, and it'll be pretty clear this isn't something that's going to happen. It's not spoiling anything, but Maria was like in my original very, very early series Bible where I was trying to get some kind of outline for, you know, the 100 episodes. Maria was going to be one of the big bads of the series.
What?
Which is, it's not anything to do with, like, the character I was thinking of as Maria Soul at that point. It only shares a name with the Maria Soul who was in the show.
Oh my gosh, break this down for me. I'm so curious.
Oh God, I'm trying to remember. It wasn't all that thought out, obviously. I think I might have actually been thinking of maybe having casting Alejandra as Maria and having her play the villain, which would have been very interesting. But also, I love Alejandra as Amanita. That is just perfect. And you as the version of Maria's soul that ended up existing is much better. But yeah, it was something to do with, I believe, like the supernatural fires that that Anna and then Bill and then eventually Sam ran into were somehow linked with Maria's soul, kind of as a supernatural power she possessed. And there was some, you know, there was still a romantic kind of element between Maria and Anna, but it had, you know, kind of been corrupted in some way and would end up being kind of like you were in some ways responsible for her disappearance. But
would you say they had a fiery relationship in that iteration?
I suppose I would have to, just put a gun to my head. But but yes, that was an incredibly early version of the story. And the series as it is now bears little to no resemblance to that original kind of pattern, which I really like. I like the version we've made now much more than that.
Absolutely.
Version,
like the versions we have now. Like, they've just developed so deeply at this point.
Absolutely.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Introducing Batiste sweat-activated and touch-activated dry shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
All right, question four. This is for Ezra from Destiny, any pronouns. Were you aware that Ned would be so popular?
No, absolutely not. I think at that point, you know, as previously said, there may have been some idea that, you know, listeners had become kind of attached to the character and that they would be glad to see him come back. But I don't think any of us had any idea that Ned would become like a favorite. Least of all me, because I didn't know anything about the Sheridan tapes before I auditioned for the show. And I've talked about this on the Patreon podcast before. But I didn't really know anything about it. And I didn't listen to any of the early episodes before my character showed up, just kind of as a personal choice. I actually listened to them over the past couple of months and I really like them. But
nice.
No, I had absolutely no idea. And I've been told that the way that I read for Ned in the audition was definitely not what was kind of expected or thought about for the character, which I think is pretty neat. I also read for Hyde. I actually recently found like all of my old auditions and I was like, I can't listen to these. I did. I read for Hyde and I actually recorded, I think it was, you were casting for either, I think, Rob or Peter Slate.
Peter Slate, yeah.
I recorded for Peter and I didn't submit it, but I do have it.
Wow.
Wow, just alternate universe. That
Wild, yeah.
Crazy, but yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you changed our entire conception of kind of the way we were thinking that would be, although we didn't have the strongest kind of idea like going into it, and you very much, yeah, brought your own sensibilities to it, and yeah,
which is truly the spirit of DeWitt slash Ned when you really think about it. It's just a surprising character, like a cockroach made of tar that just keeps surviving wonderfully. So this next question is from Shirley, she, her. Does Ned get to become a real person? And I love how that's phrased. That's certainly what we're building, isn't it? So far, that seems to be what we're building.
Yep. And the question of whether or not that's even possible, you know, that's Ned has definitely grown a lot this season. I think he was starting to feel like a real person there for a while. And then Morrison happened.
Right. A little step back.
And things are about to get a bit more complicated, unfortunately. But
yeah, we are that's certainly something we're thinking about and talking about all the time when we write Ned. All right, next question. This is for everybody, all present. Plus, we're going to hear from Chris Allison. This is from Aries, she, they. Thank you, Aries. What was your favorite character moment as an actor this season? Who wants to go first? I love this question. I will go first. Sorry, that was dramatic. So this was in an episode that I wrote, episode 69. I love the scene with Kate and Peter alternating with Bill and Rob. And I think like just Kate finally reaching a point where she's finally able to ask Peter for what she needs and kind of risk like it, and in that way sort of shifts their relationship to where she can stand on her own two feet and offer him some reassurance and comfort because he's been very stable this whole time. That was my favorite character moment for sure.
As far as Anna goes, I'd have to say that this season in general, I found to be really fulfilling because there was a lot more range for Anna, I think, this season. A lot more depth emotionally, and that was a lot of fun to play. I really liked the scene. It was a short scene, and it was in, I think it was in my last episode of this season, in the parking lot, where she happens upon a stranger, and
basically talking about like Oslo and Oslo's fate and
I loved just when she asked the question, does it have to, though? Does it have to be that way? In terms of the fate. And I don't know why that season in particular, that scene in particular stands out to me. But I it's one of my favorite scenes that I recorded this season. But like in
Anna
general,
being a little bit hopeful, I think, which is unusual for her. Or trying to be.
I think she's trying to be, or she's searching for some optimism. Just searching in general.
Yeah, I love that final scene as well. And especially now just thinking about how well it ties into where Anna starts the season in 51 with believing rightly or wrongly that she has led a friend of hers to his death because of patterns that are like locked in and stuck, like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this, what the strange woman is talking about seems very similar, like patterns that are like stuck and ingrained and can't really be escaped, and you're like looking for a way to break out of that and find a better outcome. I just love the way those scenes fit together and those ideas.
I described the scene terribly and gave you literally no context, but
if you're listening, if people are listening to this, they should
they should have the context.
I really enjoyed recording that scene. I really enjoyed working with that actress. The whole experience was really lovely. And like I said, the season in general has been a lot of fun, and working with all of the new actors. All the other actors. All the people
He's worked with us.
But I know you guys. It was fun working with the new people.
I think for Maria, I have to say, hands down, my favorite episode was Todo Se Pasa. It was really incredible just even reading the first draft of that Virginia sent to me. I think I've mentioned before, obviously, my family history of not really having much connection to my family roots in Mexico. And there are a lot of parallels in the script to things that I felt or seen or experienced or heard about my family's migration to the States. And it's not really something that I've had a lot of opportunity to talk about with a lot of people. And of course, there's the unspoken, you're talking about your family history, kind of family pressure. And so in a way, this felt like getting to express some things that I had felt and had never been able to verbalize, never really put into those words myself, but it was amazing. I think I cried the first time I read the episode, And then I excitedly read bits to my friends who were very indulgent to me, or of me. And I just, that was really, really fun to embody and to read. And something that's really stuck with me was something that Virginia said actually to me during recording, where I was struggling a little with the pronunciation of some of the names and, you know, maintaining kind of a steady flow. And she said, "These are your words. Don't be afraid of them. These words belong to you, even if you didn't grow up with them. They're part of you." And I don't think I'll ever forget that. That was really special.
Oh, you're making me tear up. I totally forgot about that.
Well, I sure didn't forget. That's actually helped me practice my Spanish more outside of the podcast, too, because, you know, I'm actively working on that. And I don't have to feel embarrassed when I mispronounce a word, because they are my words. You know, that's something really special to me now.
Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that.
And it's nice to see Maria taking time to, like, actually become okay. Mm. Because she's setting a good example for me. That's good. That's nice.
Right? A good example for all of us. Jesus Christ, I need that lesson right now. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that Ami got to say everything she wanted to say, because that is really great answer. And I love that episode so much. I know my thing's not about that, but that's one of my favorite episodes of the whole series. It's so, so good. And you guys should be very, very proud of it. As for me with Ned, I think I had so much fun working with Sophie as Detective Ramos this season. And easily my favorite Ned moment of the whole season is they were looking through files together in the office. And it was a moment where Ned was doing something nice for somebody he really didn't have anything to gain from. Mm. And she was just offering him friendship and not expecting anything from him. And I think he was kind of caught off guard by how nice it is to connect with somebody and not think about what can you get out of them? What can they gain from being around you? And, you know, I think he, well, I mean, I know because he says that he struggles a lot with trying to get close to people, knowing that they may reject him when they find out who he really is. And I think as he's trying to figure out who he really is and focus less on, like, the reality of what his existence is, I think it was very nice, and it was kind of cute. And I think it was just nice to see, like, a good thing happening to my boy.
Yeah.
And of course, I love Sophie. I would work with Sophie on anything. And I hope that we get to have at least, like, one more scene together. I don't know what the plan is, but it was just very nice. I like to have a nice moment. I think, you know, in the previous season, I got a lot of, like, action moments, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a change of pace.
This is Ned's thinking season.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what happens when your character doesn't have to be part of all the chaos happening in the main plot. Mm. Just can be having a nice little B story off in Oslo.
I'm in a different podcast. I'm like a slice of life show over here.
Yeah.
Just some mild, very frightening shenanigans at the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Up until episode 73. Yeah, I would say probably my favorite character moments for Sam. I really enjoyed, everyone's giving very nice, sweet, lovely character, like, change moment answers. And for me, honestly, the most fun thing was probably just being able to go kind of full Eldritch in episode 75 with all of those kind of, like, invocations against, the Ouroboros, because that was just a lot of fun to, it's always fun playing, you know, kind of a little bit of a darker, angrier side of, you know, Sam every once in a while, because he's normally quite timid and quite quiet, you know, in most situations. It's nice seeing him get a little bit riled up and fight. So that was a lot of fun. And then also the conversation between Sam and Kate in the episode after I think it's episode in the hospital? 68. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to say that one also. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just because it was a scene that really surprised me when we were recording it, just how genuine and true to kind of Sam's character it felt, and how much kind of growth there was in this quiet moment that didn't draw a lot of attention to itself. It was just a very nice scene to just kind of exist in, and kind of finally have Sam get called out a little bit for his choices and the effect they have on other people, and just Sam kind of slowly realizing, oh yeah, I am, it's not just me anymore. I'm a part of something, a group, a family, a group of, you know, friends, whatever the searchers are, however you read that. It was really nice to finally see Sam get a little bit of growth in there in a way that wasn't this huge, his life being torn down kind of meltdown scene. It was just kind of this nice quiet moment with Kate that was really, really sweet. So,
Yeah. My favorite character moment from this season, it's gotta be Caldwell's speech from the top of episode 69, which was not very nice. Her kind of here's where I'm coming from, step the fuck up moment to Ren, because yeah, she is someone who keeps most things very close to the chest, and Ren is someone who she trusts a lot, so for her to be that harsh with them couldn't have been easy. Clearly it was not fun for Ren, it was not easy for them to have to hear and then follow up on, but also for Caldwell, this is a lot of information that she is divulging, and it's also, I'm having to be mean to someone who I like and I trust, but is letting me, and you know, in her eyes, the whole of the human race and their future, down. Yeah, just there was a lot of rage in that scene, and it was very fun to channel.
Finally, sunscreen worthy of your skin. Sol de Janeiro's new Rio Radiance SPF 50 collection, where glowing hydration meets sun protection in a beachy and nostalgic scent. Confidently embrace your glow with lightweight 100% mineral SPF body lotion, refreshing SPF body spray, and shimmering SPF body oil. Receive 10% off on your first order on soldejaneiro.com, plus free shipping with the code SPOTIFY10.
Yeah. You know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC. Yeah.
All right. The next question is from Dusty. This is for Van Winkle. Is Rob also an ex-Mo or ex-Mormon? He gives off those vibes.
That's definitely my headcanon for his religious background. He doesn't bring it up as much as Bill does, but I imagine his family was also a part of the Mormon Church, and he broke away from that. I would imagine probably a little bit earlier than Bill did, just based on their personalities.
That feels right. Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that's the way I write Rob in the show.
That makes sense. All right. We're going to pick up the energy just a little bit, a series of rapid fire questions here. So this first one, we're going to have it answered. This is from Aries, Ezra, myself, and Van Winkle. What has been Ned's favorite persona in his 10,000 slutty years of swindling? This doesn't have to be canon. You can say whatever you want. I think personally when Ned inspired a famous perfume line in Paris as the girlfriend in Paris. That's my answer.
I'm trying to remember the name now, but there is a famous con man. The timeline doesn't exact, so this isn't canon at all, but the con man who sold the Eiffel Tower twice.
Oh my God.
Victor Lustig, I think. Was his name, but yeah, eventually in real life, just a con man who yes, did to, you know, back when the Eiffel Tower was like, we're probably going to tear that down once we're done with it. He sold it for scrap once, left town. Nobody, you know, told the police because they were too embarrassed that they had, you know, bought the Eiffel Tower. And then he came back to Paris, tried to do the same thing. That time he got caught and left, and then began doing scams on the transatlantic, like, boat, whatever you want to call that. There's a whole bunch of ridiculous schemes, but that seems like it would be very much up Ned's alley in that time period.
Beautiful. Ezra, what do you think?
I think Ned was Grigory Rasputin.
It does fit.
Russia's famous love machine.
That's absolutely not canon. I didn't write this, but that's how I feel.
None of these answers are entirely canon, or they are all canon.
Ami and Aaron, if you want to propose something that Ned did in his slutty years of swindling, this is a good time to shout anything out.
Oh my gosh. I definitely do. Shoot.
I know. I'm on the spot now.
Oh no. I think, all right, I have no names for this and zero context, but there was a man who pulled off a heist and jumped out of an airplane, and he's never been caught.
Oh, D.B. Cooper.
Yes.
Yes, there we go. Yeah. This is why I have friends who know things.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with D.B. Cooper.
That's pretty good.
Was Ned part of the crew of men who dug the trenches in downtown London? And Ooh. Caused a traffic jam. I don't know if it was like Piccadilly Square or wherever it was, but it was a bunch of pranksters dug these long trenches through the muddy roads of London in the early 1900s and caused the city to come to like a standstill.
Ned so probably led that.
Probably.
Yeah. That sounds
yeah.
about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he probably led it.
It was a boring Tuesday. You know.
Yeah, or it supplied Tuesday, the shovels at least.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The final season of the Sheridan Tapes is crowdfunding now at seedandspark.com/fund/SheridanTapes4. Help us finish the story of Anna Sheridan and find answers to the mystery and get exclusive rewards and perks for backing the campaign before it closes on December 11th, 2022. That's seedandspark.com/fund/SheridanTapes, the number 4. Or follow the crowdfunding link at thesheridantapes.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.